guys. Welcome back to The Reveal for tonight's Encore call. We are so glad that you continue to join us each week on Wednesday nights. We have had some tremendous feedback for our Encore speakers, so of course we wanted to bring them back to say hi to you. We've had so much fun creating this event and creating The Reveal as one entire event, and so we have so many more details to share with you, and they'll be coming out via email and on the live site, and you can always catch each live event every Wednesday at thereveal.lyanca, which is lyanca.com/live. And tonight, Deborah is a little bit under the weather, so I'll let her talk about that, but she's got a little bit of a scratchy throat, but she's still here to show everybody love and to talk about how wonderful our guest is tonight. So tell everyone hi, Deborah.
Hi there, everyone. Please forgive me if I'm rolling around a cough drop in my mouth. And if I have to go on mute, for a second, Lyanca knows and will take over. I've been having some coughing spells, I guess allergies or whatever, and sometimes it gets a little bit out of control when I'm talking. So bear with me tonight. But I wouldn't miss being here for the world because, as most of you know, Donna Lippman is here with us, and she actually was my coach in my training program years ago, and, I can't thank her enough for introducing me to this work, this transformational work. She has so much to do with what I do today and really who I am at my core. So I highly, highly recommend, she is like, a coach of coaches. So if you've got questions tonight, if there are places that, or things going on in your life or situations that you really need some feedback on and you really need someone to shine a light on it and give you some, great coaching, raise your hand. It's star two. And she would love to answer your questions. So, this is Lyanca and I love bringing you these people, and we really want you to take advantage of these people who are here and spending their time to connect with you and to share their information with you. So please, 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 if you've got questions, if you've got things going on in your life, Donna's coaching is phenomenal. She has clients all over the world. So take advantage of it, guys. So with that said, I'm not gonna go too deep into her introduction because most of you know her already. But Donna has been a coach for many years. For the past 14 years, she's been in the coaching and training industry, and she's probably best known for being Debbie Ford's right-hand person in Debbie Ford's integrative coaching program. And, and I just have to say, as far as, leading presentations, being on stage, Donna is phenomenal with her presence and being able to lead from the stage. There's something about live events that it just, lots of times you can just go deeper. So anyway, I'm so happy she's here, and I'm going to dive right into it. I want her to share more about what she's doing and for you to get to spend time with her. So don't forget to hit star two. And Donna, my coach.
Yes.
My coach. I love you. Welcome, welcome.
I was just listening to you talk, Deborah, I was just thinking back on that day that we were sitting outside the very first time we met right here in Austin, Texas at Shady Grove on a beautiful day.
Oh, I love Shady Grove.
I've been here lately.
Yeah.
And talking and your enthusiasm and your hunger and desire to change and transform and be all that you could be in the world was just palpable. And I love that about you. And it's still there. And you are putting it to work. So I'm so impressed and inspired by you and Lyanca, what you've done here. I've listened to many, many of the people that you've had on The Reveal, and Wow, it's very uplifting and, bringing hope and possibility. I love the way you ignite possibility in people. So thank you for allowing me to be amongst the people who are revealing their secrets it's wonderful.
Well, thank you for that.
Real step
thank
of life.
That. And, you know, and you were actually, of course, one of the first ones when I shared with Bianca that I really wanted you on just because you are and have been such a big force in my life. And, you know, it's funny, and I just want to put that out there. You know, you just remind me of that day about how everything is leading us to where we truly want to be. Whether we realize it or not, because I remember at the time I'd just come out of a banking career and I didn't know what I was going to do and I didn't know who I was without being, you know, Banker Deborah or whatever. And I knew I wanted to do something, but I didn't even know that there was such a thing as coaching. I knew that I love working with people and training and leading others into their greatness, you know, within the banking industry, but I didn't even know that existed. And I remember thinking, what do I want to do? But what I want to do is not even out there. And then lo and behold, I go and visit a friend in Austin, and here you are sitting across from me saying, well, you know, I'm the lead staff coach for Debbie Ford, and, you know, I went on to hear all about it. And of course, I was, you know, enrolled in that program like lickety split. So, I just want all the listeners to realize that, you know, we're always being led, like on a trail, even though sometimes, you know, it doesn't seem like it. We're always being trained.
And wouldn't
it
be amazing, if we could just trust that we are being led and that resistance keeps coming up, you know, like, wait, it's not supposed to be that way.
Exactly.
But if we could just trust, and it must be one of the hardest things in the world to do is to trust. I know it has been for me because I had no idea. Like you, Deborah, I didn't know 15, 16, 17 years ago that I'd be leading workshops and being on telesummits and doing trainings and helping and supporting other people to transform their lives. I would have said, if you told me that's what I was going to be doing, I would have said, no, you're nuts. You know,
I agree. I mean, I felt the same way. You know, I mean, if you'd said that I would be able to be interviewing, you know, some of the greatest thought leaders out there, I would have never thought that. So, but it's wonderful to remind each other, you know, to trust where we're going. And, you know, that was just a fun trip to see a friend, although the universe had bigger plans, right? So the universe is always working things out, and this tapestry is being woven for our good, you know, and if we can remember that. Yeah. And you're right, trusting is hard.
I think it's good to honor where we were, too.
Absolutely. No, you know what, you're right.
Honor
because,
where we were.
You know, the banking industry served me well, but, you know, when I left there, I was kind of burnt out and just tired of it and, you know, but didn't have a clue. So, but, you know, talking about trust, though, that leads me to what I really want you to – I want us to go deeper in the conversation tonight. You know, I trained with you and Debbie very deep in shadow work. And I know many times when I say that to people, they're not quite sure what that is and what that means. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're focusing more now on, you know, the light and all. But will you kind of talk more about how you got there? And I mean, where we all really started and what shadow really means.
Okay. Well, I met Debbie many years ago right here in Austin, Texas. Austin is a catalyst, I think, for great things happening in the world. And the person I was working with.
I never knew you met her in Austin. That's so cool.
I did. The person that I was working with, Justin, remember Justin Hilton? I was working for him, and we were running this big real estate business and a complex that you know, was not doing that well, an apartment complex. So he kind of thought it was the staff, and he had heard of Debbie, and he briefly met her and decided, let's bring her in and she'll fix everyone. He was just starting his spiritual journey, you know, and I thought, oh, that sounds great. And Debbie had just gotten to publish Dark Side of the Light Chasers. And
yeah.
She came in, and the only one that really got her wagon fixed was me. And I immediately fell in love with the work that Debbie was doing. It scared me. Scared the living daylights out of me, but I could see that maybe I was not living a full life. The result of turning our backs on our dark side, because that's what Debbie was talking about, the shadow, the dark side, mm-hmm. is really living a life that's only half lived, you know?
Right.
The shadow contains all the parts of ourselves that we try to hide, deny, or suppress. I think I said that the last time I was on. And it's the keeper of all the aspects of ourselves that we dislike and the qualities
give some examples of that. I mean,
sure.
You know,
I think it has many faces, the shadow. It could be the angry side, the mean side. Those were very difficult parts for me to embrace, and I'll talk mm-hmm. about embracing the shadow in a minute, but the mean, nasty, you know, angry parts of myself, because I was raised with that and it was used against me, it wasn't okay. So I knew it was in there, but I didn't want anybody else to know, and I really probably didn't even want to know myself. But there's the fearful part of us. There's the lazy part of us, or the controlling, or the selfish. What else? Weak.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Pathetic. All of those parts of ourselves that we deem unacceptable.
Right.
So
right.
They're the faces that we don't want to show the world. We don't want to show ourselves either. And I think we expend huge amounts of energy trying to get rid of those unwanted aspects of ourselves. And the truth is, we can't get rid
and
of them.
And cover
it's
them up,
part
right?
Of who we
not,
are.
Not to let other people see them, right?
Yes.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
the person who's
yeah.
really, like, you know, pissed
right.
off, like, to the moon and back, but, you know, shows up
mm-hmm.
as, you know, the nicest, sweetest, oh, isn't she nice?
Yeah.
You know, kind of
right.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Somebody that puts something so sweet, so lovely, so wonderful out there, you know the other side is in there lurking. It's
and
like,
just as big,
yes.
right? And just as big, yeah.
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 Yes, just as big. And it's waiting for its opportunity to show up. And believe me, it shows up. And one of the ways that, you know, it is very simple to understand the way that it shows up is road rage.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
You know what?
You know, we're
I
driving along.
I believe that. Go ahead. I want to say something about
now.
That. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're driving along and everything's fine, and then somebody cuts us off and we go into a tirade. That's our shadow.
Yeah.
I know it sounds funny.
No,
I've done it myself.
It squirts out, right? You can't control it. It just, there it is. You know,
or you'll nowadays you'll even see the post that just all of a sudden, like, you're like, what is going on with that person? I mean, it could have been the road rage that sparked it, but really it's the shadow, and they're just like on a rant, and then they might take it down later. But you're just like, I mean, just because social media now gives us a platform to have that instead of doing it in our car. But so you're saying that,
uh-huh.
you know, that's the shadow, that's the way that we're kind of masking it, and it comes out.
You know, and I love that you bring that up, Donna, because I can't tell you how many people I've been with before that say, no, I'm not angry. I just don't get angry or whatever. And you get in the car with them, and then you haven't gone two blocks, you know, and it's like, oh, my God, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That is a really, really good example of how.
And then it's hard to deny, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so clear. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah, and I love that you said if we don't really look at it, if we don't take the time and, you know, I know you're going to talk more about embracing it and owning it mm-hmm. and being, you know, getting okay with, yes, we're all lazy. Yes, we're all pathetic. Yes, we're all bitches. Yes, we're all mean. You know, we're all everything. If we don't do that, then I just like to say it squirts out at the most inopportune time.
It does. It does. I like to think of our internal world as like a balloon, you know, and things happen and it gets filled up. You know, your dog dies, and then, you know, your computer goes haywire, and then, you know, all of these things happening, normal everyday things, but they build up, and that balloon is getting bigger and bigger. And one of two things is going to have to happen. Either it pops and there's the road rage, or it leaks out.
Mm.
And how does it leak out? Well, it leaks out on the people that we love, you know, the people who are closest to us. And so I like to look at the shadow.
Well,
wait a minute.
I want to ask a question about that. When you say leaking out, do you mean like being passive aggressive, or just saying little snide remarks, but, you know, kind of offhanded, where you can't really tell if it was a compliment or not? Or, like, is that what you mean? Yeah.
It leaks out, like, and you get angry at them. And for some silly little thing, when really it's just all of that stuff built up in you, and it just sort of leaks out over there, and we don't realize that when we are in an upset, it's never about the other person. It's always about that wounded part of us inside of us, that shadow part of us that needs something from us. And popping up to say, hey, I need your attention, or I need your love, or I need your understanding. You know, it always needs something from us. And we've refused to even acknowledge it, so how could we give it anything that it needs?
Right. And I love that. Yes, and I love that this is the first time you use the word wound, because that's really what they are, right? They're really old wounds. You know, we've been told from the time we were little, it is not okay to get angry, you know, or don't cry. I'll give you something to cry about, or whatever.
Exactly.
So then we internalize all that and then think that those are behaviors or feelings that are completely not okay. And then they just get shoved and pushed and buried.
And we feel ashamed.
Yeah.
Internally, we feel ashamed. And so those parts of us use us. They shame us. They embarrass us. And so we try and push it down. And it comes up whether we want it to or not. And mostly, of course, we don't, but it's just reactivating those emotional wounds. You know, a little incident that happens, and it just brings it all right back to you. Something happened to us in the past, and we made it mean something about us. We are meaning-making machines. So,
God, and that's truth.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell our listeners, you know, about, you know, and I know we've done, you know, hundreds or thousands of processes with our shadow parts or the parts we don't like or whatever, but kind of give them a short version of what it means to be in allowance of them, or to accept, you know, say the angry part, or the pathetic part, or the lazy part, or whatever. How do we explain to our listeners, how would we go about accepting that and being okay with it?
Well, I think that we have to see, first of all, our shadows aren't going anywhere. We need to pay attention to them. And there's a process of making peace with those disowned aspects, because we know that they are going to be with us. And, you know, they could be useful to us at some point in our lives. So we don't want to get rid of them. We can't get rid of them. We want to appreciate them for what they actually have given to us. And each of our shadows comes bearing gifts. They bear gifts. And if we can see the gift that the angry part has given us, or that the stupid part, or the fearful part has given us, then we can accept and make peace with that part of ourselves, and we no longer have to use it against ourselves. We no longer have to, you know, be worried that it's going to pop up, because we're conscious of it. And we can call it up when we need it. So maybe, I'll give you an example. Greenpeace, for example, was probably founded on anger.
Right.
So somebody looked at their anger and, wow, let's, I mean, you know, no matter what your feelings are about Greenpeace, but I think they do some good work in the world. So let's take this anger and use it. So it's a process of embracing the shadow. So it's uncovering the gifts and the wisdom that's hidden in each and every aspect of ourselves, you know, and especially the ones that we're ashamed of or embarrassed by. And rather than viewing our weakness or our smallness or our insecurities as enemies or kind of obstacles that we have to, you know, move around in order to move forward in our lives, it's a process that guides us to take our power back. You know, we have given our power away. We've just given away by, you know, suppressing that shadow and feeling embarrassed and feeling...
Yeah.
Yeah, feeling ashamed, we give it away.
I remember last time when you said that, it landed so deeply with me, and you gave an example of how we gave our power away. Can you talk a little bit more about that if you get a chance to? I don't want to interrupt your thought, but I do want people to hear that more, too, or I want to hear it more, too, about how we do that and versus, you know, where we can go next.
Before you go into how we give it away, I wanted to give an example just for me, too, and just so people could really get a feel for the parts that we don't like that have gifts. You know, they do come bearing gifts, whether we believe it or not. And, like, you know, when I came into the coaching program, you know, I really viewed myself as just this kind of pathetic kind of, fearful girl who hid out all the time, you know. I mean, I was just hiding. But, you know, when we really worked, I mean, we had to work hard on that one for me, to really embrace pathetic and fearful and scared and hiding. But, you know, when we looked at some of the gifts around that, it went back to childhood, where actually that was a trait that I learned, that sometimes, because I was not in a very good situation in my childhood, so it was much safer for me to hide out. It was much safer for me to be quiet and hidden many times than to be out there. So it, what I wanted people to understand is that sometimes those parts of ourselves protected us at one time, but, you know, when we get, you know, mature and are living our lives, those shadows then kind of get in the way. And, and really by being able to embrace this, you know, pathetic, fearful, hiding out girl, when I was really able to see the gifts and all that, then when I embraced that, then I could begin to allow myself, you know, the other side of that, which is doing what I do now, which is, you know, to show up and to speak my voice and to be a gift in the world and to, you know, show my face and to show my voice and to not hide anymore. So I just wanted just to give that example about how sometimes the dark shadows actually you know, have protected us before, but we don't need their protection anymore, you know. When
no.
we really began
they,
to...
we I think it was brilliant as a child when we needed protection. You know, we developed this sense of protection, you know, and
right.
for me it was don't speak up or you might get into trouble, so I kept quiet.
Right.
And it worked until I got into my adulthood and I found, you know, I really want to make a difference in people's lives, but if I wasn't speaking up, that wasn't going to happen.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, so you want to look at how do we give our power away? Well, if we're fearful and we're not speaking up, we're giving our power to our fear.
Right.
Does that make
right.
sense, Lianca? You see that? We're giving our power away to our fear or to our shame or to our embarrassment. And if we can take it back and get the gifts of, the gift of our fear might be our determination, right? Because I was so fearful as a child, I really
yeah.
was determined
oh my
to
gosh,
move
that,
through
that.
That
totally resonates with me. Like, I'm kind of the opposite end of the spectrum for Deborah. I wasn't, you know, I didn't feel like I was shy or fearful, not in that way. I wasn't hiding, or I didn't feel like I was trying to hide. I mean, I was a singer, and I loved being doing that, but in other ways, I think I became determined, you know, overly because of there was an underlying fear there, right? Fear, kind of fear of rejection since I was raised by my grandparents, not my real parents, so I wanted them to always accept me. But I can see that being the other way. So it's harder for me to see the shadow in that way. Does that make sense? Like, I can see Deborah's shadow when she says, well, I was timid or I didn't want to come out. For me, I'm like, well, I wasn't like that. I was getting straight A's, and I wanted to be totally, you know, the kid that nobody wanted to leave behind, right? Because I didn't want to be rejected. So, but that in and of itself became kind of my, is that what you're saying? Like that
yeah,
in and
so
of itself
let
kind
me
of
ask you.
Thing?
Yeah, so, you know, you were afraid of being abandoned, yes?
Yes.
Is that what you're
yes.
saying?
Yeah. Well, yes.
So how did that stop you from having what you wanted in life? Because that's where it uses us. That's where it. That's how we give our power away.
Got it.
How did it stop you? Can you see that, Lianca?
Yes, I do see that. I do. I mean, especially yeah. growing up as a young singer, or, you know, I was always like, oh, well, all the other kids are going to make fun of me because I showed up on this little TV show, right? Like, I just want to be a normal kid, so I would just try to hide out that way so as not to get rejected. But yet, that
right.
was something I wanted, right? I loved that piece. You know, it wasn't about just the limelight. It was more about the talent behind it and what I loved about it. But nonetheless, my rejection, my fear of rejection or abandonment from my regular friends kept me playing small, and so I wouldn't. You know, I'd pretend like I didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
It's funny.
But there's a cost to that.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So what I thought was aiding me or helping me was actually hurting me in other ways.
Exactly. And so you this is why it's so important to look at your commitment. What are you committed to? Are you committed to being bigger and making a difference in the world or not? And it's okay, whatever your commitment is, but your actions have to be in alignment with that commitment.
Got it.
Or else
you
are giving your power away.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, you know, we can invite all of our callers just to think about tonight, you know, where are the places, what are the traits or the feelings, or, you know, it's kind of one of those things, what would you not want anyone to know about you, you know? What would you not want anyone to think about you or perceive about you? So, you know, and we're all everything. You know, I used to love that about Debbie. She was just so brilliant at explaining and getting the point across that we're all everything, you know. You know, it reminds me of that song, you know, I'm a bitch, I'm a mother, I'm a lover, I'm a whatever, you know. We're all everything, right? But we think that we can only be these certain things, you know, and we have to leave everything
because
else
we
off
might
the
be
table.
Rejected.
Because
right?
we might be rejected. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or we might be disapproved of, or we might be judged, or whatever, whatever. And the reality is that we have all those traits of everything, and the more that we can just accept, you know, like Leonka, I mean, that was, you know, part of her shadow was the fear of rejection. Mine was, you know, the fear of being hurt, you know, and yours was the fear of being heard. I mean, we all have these different boxes that we put them in, but when you can embrace them and look at, you know, the shadow, there are gifts there.
And that's what this process is all about. It's about loving all of ourselves, and I think this profound work teaches us how to love every aspect of our humanity, and we are all human. You know, so it's a gentle, I mean, it sounds difficult, you know, like, oh my God, I gotta go and look at the dark side and I don't want to see it and no, don't make me do it. But really, we can be so much more gentle with ourselves after, you know, if we just allow ourselves to step into looking at, you know, well, what is it that you know, is so awful in there that I would give up my dreams for it.
You know, I remember, this is bringing up a memory. I don't know if you remember this, Donna, but, you know, of course, Debbie could look at all of us and know in an instant what our shadows were, you know. And I remember at one point she had me, like, come up on stage and just stand there in front of everyone. And it was excruciating. It was just, you know, just stand there, not do anything, just stand there. And so, you know, I thought I was done. And, you know, I looked at her and I was like, can I go? You know, and I went to walk down the stairs and she was like, no, come back up here and stand here some more. And, but, you know, it was in like those kinds of moments of, because she was being gentle with the part of me that I thought was just pathetic, you know, I just hated that part of me that couldn't be okay in front of other people. You know, I was so afraid of being judged or whatever. And, you know, in her way and in your way, I mean, so many of us were able to just embrace and expand in ways that, you know, I would have never dreamed. So I just had a memory about that. I just wanted to share that. Yeah.
I remember that. I was there.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult for us to receive and be seen. And that's the light part. Shadows also include the light part of ourselves as well. And
well, of course
not,
they do. You know, it's so funny. We always talk about the shadow, but there can't be a shadow without a light, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you think about when you go outside and you see your shadow, you see it because there's light too, right?
Exactly. And this whole thing is not about being perfect. It's not about that. It's about integrating. It's about self-love. It's about reclaiming. It's about making empowered choices instead of automatic, unempowered choices. And that's all it is. I think it's the greatest gift that God could give us, you know, because it's our teacher. It's our trainer. It's the best training ground ever. If you would give yourself the gift and the opportunity to look inside. And it does support us in uncovering our own magnificence. And I'm so very, very grateful that I had this opportunity given to me in this life. It's like a miracle. And it's not an enemy, right? It's not a problem to be solved. It's not anything that you gotta conquer. It's something to be cultivated. And gently.
It's just loving all the parts of yourself, right? I mean, it's just gently acknowledging, even if you still don't like it, you know, there, you know, it's just becoming aware that, you know, that's a part of me too, you know?
Yeah.
And which leads us to, I know you spent so much time, you know, working so masterfully with Debbie, and so tell us about how now you've moved into the work that you're doing now, which is not so much about the dark as it is looking at a different aspect. So, so talk to me about
that. Yeah, and it's not that I ignore the dark anymore, but you know, there are so many incredible people who are studying the light and the effects of positive psychology on our being, you know, on our bodies, on our physiology and our neurophysiology. And it fascinated me to think that, you know, the light part of us could be cultivated as well. In fact, that's the thing that really got me in Debbie's work. Lianca and I were talking earlier, and yeah, I could get the dark side. I can see that. But the light, when I heard that the shadow was the light too, I thought, whoa, that's fascinating. We give our power away to other people who we think has more light than us. And so I thought, wow, isn't that fascinating? How do I take that part back and claim it for myself? Because your light, Deborah or Lianca, your light will not shine in the same way mine does, and vice versa. But we give it to other people very freely without even knowing it. And one way that I like to show how we give our light away is how much we idolize and adore famous people, whether it be a sports figure or a movie star or a singer. And they make a lot of money. Have you ever noticed?
Yeah.
And I think it's a direct result of giving our light away.
Mm-hmm.
So it intrigued me to think about what if we could strengthen and cultivate that light in ourselves, however it shows up for us. It won't show up like Oprah's light, right? It'll show up like our light, but we don't even give it a chance. We don't give it a chance to show up because we're busy giving it away to somebody else. And it's not just famous people in the world. You know, lots of luminaries that we have studied and, you know, talked about and admired, like Gandhi or Mother Teresa or the Dalai Lama. But it doesn't even have to be somebody famous. It could be, you know, looking at the people in your life who really
inspire you. Yeah, it could be a friend. Yeah, it could be a friend.
Could be a friend,
Oh, yeah. God, they have it all, you know, or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. But I really wanted to study that and dive into it and look at, okay, how am I going to take this back now? It's not that they have something that I don't. They weren't born with a particular gene. I think I shared that the last time we talked. They don't have a gene that I don't have. If I can see it, that is me.
Oh.
If I can see it. And I love that concept.
Yeah. Remember us talking about this, Lianca?
If you spot it, you got it.
Yeah. Whether it's dark or light, right? So when we look at people that we admire or we think, wow, look what they're doing. I mean, the only reason that it's really on our radar is because that lies within us too. Right, Donna?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's exactly right. And again, it won't show up like theirs does. But what would be possible if we could take back that light? Maybe what do we see in somebody like an Oprah? We see her generosity. We see her brilliance. We see her, I see her ease and her, you know, extreme ability to have a conversation, a fluent conversation. And of course, that would be my thing because that's my issue. You know, 20 years ago, I couldn't put two clear sentences together without stumbling all over myself. So when I look at somebody, I see, oh, that person is so articulate, so fluent. But you know what? That's me. So I began to take that back from the people that I saw out there and looked at, well, how am I that? Well, one way that I was fluent was through singing. I was very fluent singing. And so I very carefully transferred that to my speaking.
Right.
And now I'm able to get up on stage and lead workshops and you know, give talks. I think I was sharing with you guys earlier that I recently did a talk on, I teach presentation skills. who would have thought? But I teach presentation skills now, and I recently did a talk at a local Chamber of Commerce event here in Austin, and there were people who left their comments saying, in 25 years, that's the best presentation I've ever seen.
Wow.
I'm really proud of that because that wasn't going to happen. If I did not take back my fluency, my articulateness, is that a word? I think so.
Your power,
I would not
potency.
Be doing that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You took that back. Yeah.
Yes,
and so, gosh, what a great demonstration to all of us that, I mean, who could we be? What could we do if we were able to take all that back that we, you know, spread all over everybody else, smear all over everybody else, you know, about how great everybody else is. And, you know, we're just...
And
we
need that light. We need everybody's light right now. We don't need to be giving it away because, you know, everybody else, Oprah, I keep using Oprah because she's such a great example. Most everybody loves Oprah and loves something about her, but she doesn't need our light. We need it.
Yeah.
We need it to make a difference in the world with so many issues in the world to handle. We've got to have our light to make that difference.
So how would we go about, if there was someone in our life that we were, you know, giving it away to, I mean, how would we go about taking it back, getting it, I mean, what does that look like, Donna?
Well, the first thing I think you need to do is identify it. What is it? What's the quality? So you want to pick somebody, Deborah?
Let's see. Yeah.
What's the quality?
Actually,
who is it that you see, first of all? We'll go with who is it that you see in your life
that you
admire?
Okay, I truly admire Danielle Laporte. And I love the way that she is so raw and real, and her words, just her writings are they feel so authentic and almost sensual, you know. And
she is very sensual.
And, you know, it's like, I mean, you know. I love, you know, the things she says and the way she puts words together. It's just so beautiful. I mean, I write. I'm a writer, so I, you know, I really pay attention to that. But, that would be, I mean, so, I give her a lot of light.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah.
I want you to hear, I want everybody to hear how you're speaking, Deborah, about Danielle Laporte. And it's with such reverence and such beauty, and it's great. I love that. And that is one way that you could know that maybe you're giving your light away to her, is when you have a little bit of a, you know, a charge on it. It could be a negative charge with some people. That's how you know the dark side is showing up. But when you have this really positive, wow, charge on somebody, you know, that's when you're giving your light away. Carl Jung called it projection. We project. Yeah. And why do we do that? We do that because we're not able to be with the light in us. It's harder. It's harder than the dark. It's harder to be all that. And so, you know, we just give it away over there. So the first thing is to do is to notice what are the qualities. And always break it down to a quality. So I heard her authenticity and her sensuality and her, what else did you say?
Well, it's her creativity and the way she writes.
Her ability to write and her creativity. And that's you. That is you. So how do you take it back? Well, yours may not, your writing may not come out exactly the way hers does, but if you can bring that back to you, oh, okay, I see that's me, and get the gift. It's also getting the gift of those parts of you, your own creativity, your own authenticity. It all comes bearing gifts too.
Mm-hmm.
And love those parts of you, as we were talking about loving the dark side, love those parts of you and not be afraid of them, not be ashamed of them, but to embrace them. And here's the thing, you want to take action around it.
Okay.
What would you do? What would you do to be that creative writer? What would it look like for you, or to be authentic, or to be sensual?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to start to take action, because, of course, and I'm sure you've heard this before, that you know it's great to have the insight, but insight, you know, without action is really, it's kind of useless. It's just insight.
New point, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you want to be able to start to take steps towards being that creative being. What would it look like for you? Not what it would it look like for Danielle, but what would it look like for you?
And it's so funny that it's making me think about, because I remember getting scolded, I don't know, when I was real young and, you know, for drawing outside the lines or not being, I don't know what I did, but one of my big things is that I'm not creative. So isn't that interesting I'm remembering that because, you know, even though I'm a writer, even though I've written lots of articles, even though, you know, I've written for lots of publications, I still don't consider myself as a creative, right? And
I bet if we were talking to all of your audience out there, they would all say, wow, Deborah and Lianca are so incredibly creative to have come up with this reveal summit.
Hmm.
Wow.
It's so funny
I'm
to hear
projecting all over you guys.
It's so funny to hear Deborah say that she's not creative because there's so many times I turn to her and be like, okay, what do we say here? You know, like, like she's the guru sometimes of creativity for me. And then, of course, it just flows. But, you know, to hear her dot be the thing that she's like, I'm not creative, and that be something that had been said to her before or that she took on is just beyond me. So I love that we can embrace the light.
Yeah. But you heard what she said, when I was younger.
Yes. And I think a lot of us have those stories, right? A lot of those, and some people just don't let them go, or we don't acknowledge or see them or identify them.
Just like with the dark, where we were wounded, so we decided it's not a good idea to be that, or I'll lose love, or I might lose my life, or something. Just like with the dark. With the light, something happened. We are wounded around it. So I better not be too big for my britches, or I'm going to get into a lot of trouble. Who do you think you are? I don't know if we mentioned that the last time. That was a big one for me because I heard that a lot from my mom. Well, who do you think you are? You know, Mrs. Astor, and I think we talked about Mrs. Astor the last time, very wealthy, wonderful woman who did a lot of good things. And so I made that mean something about me. I made it mean that I wasn't worthy of doing great things in the world. So I lived into it. We are wounded. We are poor little wounded people walking all over the earth. And so can we heal that wound? Because if we could take that back and love that light part of us, that's what's going to move this world forward.
Well, you know, you're right. What is it? What was Marianne Williamson's quote about? It's not, you know, it is the light in us that we're so afraid of, right?
Yes.
So.
Yes. And why would we be afraid of it? Why? Well, first of all, it's a wound, and we don't want to. It's kind of like, you know, picking the scab on the wound. Oh, God, I'm going to take the Band-Aid off, and it's going to hurt. So we don't want to do that. But then what if we actually got the Band-Aid off, and then there's something underneath that? Well, what's underneath that is our fear of, oh, my God, I'm going to have to be responsible for it now. I'm actually going to have to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I take the Band-Aid off of my fear of speaking, then I'm actually going to have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to have to subject myself to some possible event happening. Maybe I'll
possible
get hurt.
Possible judgment.
Maybe I'll
or
make...
possible disapproval,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rejection.
Rejection, yeah.
Abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we're all, it. For me, I've seen in my life that it all comes down to the fear of losing love.
Wow.
And we are the walking wounded, fearful of losing our parents' love.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to do that anymore. We don't. But our automatic system is at work, and it is very powerful, very, very powerful. And it's got a stranglehold on us. And we have to make conscious choices. We have to be aware. That's why it's good. If you see, you know, you've got somebody out there and you're just really loving that person, and they're amazing. I just think they're incredible. Look at the qualities. Write them down. You know, take some time to journal about them. Where am I that? Where could I be that? Where do I want to be that? What would that look like? You know, how could I use this in my life instead of it keeping me down?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And even
yeah.
for our audience, you know, and if you wanted to even, you know, balance it out, you could even do that with, you know, people you don't like, you know. People
mm-hmm.
with qualities, you know, there may be some
yep.
stuff in there for you, some gifts in there for, you know, I mean, there's always, you know, if you said give me five people you don't like, you know, it's pretty easy for most people to, you know, hand you five people they don't like. And then if you were to say, well, what are the qualities about those people you don't like? And then you can begin to, you know, get under there a little bit. So
yeah, I like the idea of balancing it out.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
you want to balance it out.
Well, and what I'm wanting for people to really get from this call too is that, you know, I mean, that's what, you know, you and I did for so many years was it was called integrative coaching, which meant that we integrated all the parts of ourselves. You know, that was the idea
mm-hmm.
that we embraced,
mm-hmm.
you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, all of it.
Yeah.
And we all have, you know, great parts that we don't want to really accept and we project onto others and really yuck parts or that we think are bad that we project out too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all, we all have those qualities somewhere within us, you know.
Yes, yes. We do.
And there's gifts. And there's gifts in all of them. Yeah.
There's gifts in all of it. And if you can take the time to understand that, to dig into it a little bit, I think that you can transform. And transformation is simply a shift in perception. How do you perceive your weakness or your fear or your rejection? And if
wow.
you can get the light side of it, the gift side of it, and love that part of you, not just, you know, accept it. You know, there is a part where you want to just accept it. Okay, that is me. But then what if you could really love this part of you as opposed to beating it up all the time? What's wrong with you? Who do you think you are? I can't believe you said that.
Oh, tell the story about the doll,
Anna. We do that to ourselves.
Tell the story about
the doll. You want to hear the doll story?
Yeah, tell the doll story.
I love this story, and it was so effective to see it done in you know, live,
the visual,
in person.
The visual, yeah, was so big, yeah.
All right, I'll try to paint a picture here. So we've got a darling little baby doll, you know, a little baby doll that you would buy at a toy store, and Debbie would get one of those baby dolls, and she'd, you know, have it all cradled in her arms. Oh, sweet, cute little baby doll. And then she would say something like, "You're stupid." And she'd take that baby doll and she'd slam it on the table. And then something else would come up. She'd say, "What's the matter with you? Don't you know any better?" And just slam the baby doll. And she would keep bringing up all of this negativity that we bring up for ourselves in our own minds every single day. And by the time she was finished, that baby doll was completely mangled. You know, it might have been missing an arm by then, and you know, broken neck and broken legs. And
wow.
The thing about that is, and this is the part that really got me about that. Okay, I can see we slam ourselves like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then what we do, so we take that baby doll and we put it up on the chair and say, "Now, go out and have a great life. Go out and be the light in the world."
Oh, wow.
How
oh
can
goodness.
You do that? How,
right.
What kind of life do you think that baby doll, and that is us, you know, that sweet little part of us inside of us, how can that baby doll go out and have a great life?
No, but it's true, Donna.
I don't think it stands a chance.
How many of us, literally, how many of us stagger out the door in the morning? Because, you know, we've already looked in the mirror, beat the crap out of ourselves, and, you know, made ourselves wrong for a thousand things. And we stumble out the door and, you know, try to say positive things, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and our stuffing is falling out.
What did Debbie
used
to say about that? Debbie used to call it putting ice cream on top of the poop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. And it may work, you know, a little bit, but it's not, you're not going to be standing in an empowered place. You will be disempowered, and you're not going to be living that passionate, purposeful life that you really, in your dreams, in your heart, you want to live. And so you have to ask yourself the question, is it worth it to keep my perceived fears in place when it costs me my passion and my purpose and my love, my relationships, money? It costs me a lot.
Yeah.
And you have to be honest with yourself. This is a process of being honest. It's not, you know, it's not like, oh, well, you know, it's not so bad. So I go out with a broken leg or, you know, mangled arm. No, it doesn't serve you anymore. And I've asked my clients that question many times, and the answer is generally no, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And all you get out of it, what do you get? You get a little safety, maybe. You think you do, but really you don't. You get to be right about something. Maybe make
you
somebody
get to hide
wrong,
out a little more.
Yeah. You don't have to be responsible. You have to be the victim of it all. Ooh, we just love being victim.
Yeah.
I've loved it many, many times. But it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah.
I think
we're all in a place, where we're so wanting to be move into being able to, you know, create more of what we want and stand in our power and in our light and, you know, not be victims anymore. I mean, I think we're all to the place we're just so ready for that change. And so
you
I just want to invite you now.
Don't you guys feel it?
Oh, gosh,
people
want it's like people want it. People want it bad.
Mm-hmm.
People want it bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to right now just invite if any of you want to ask a question. I don't know if you've got some questions on the chat, but if you want to talk with Donna live right now, if you have a question about a dark part of you or a light part of you or how you might embrace something that you've not been able to reach, is it star 2? I'm sorry, is that right, Leonica? Star 2 to raise your hand?
Yes, just raise your hand, yeah. Star 2. We've had a couple people that raised their hand. So star 2 if you want to ask a question, and we do have some in the chat, so go ahead.
So while we're doing that, let's talk more about, you know, how you're coaching your clients now, you know, around the light and how you're taking them deeper into that.
Well, I think we talked a little bit the last time about these this concept that we've developed, and we call them birth lights.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been taking people through each one of these. We've developed this concept of seven lights. And I've been taking people through each one of these seven lights that we feel we were born with. We came into this world full of light, right? Isn't that true when you look at a baby and you see the light? That's all you see, right? You just see a light being, one who trusts, one who's totally innocent, you know, one who's totally connected, you know, going to tell you exactly what they need. So they have a deep sense of expression. And I really looked at what is it that people want in their lives. They want to be more self-expressed. They want to be a contribution. They want to live in this place of wonder. And those parts of us are not gone.
Right.
So I am coaching people, and actually we have a 10-week teleclass that we take people through. And the changes are amazing, just so lots and lots of miracles by just focusing each week on one of these particular birth lights.
So give us a couple of those lights that you're talking about. Just give us a couple that you really think are important. I mean, I know they're all important,
they are. It's funny, the one that seems to be, well, the one that people connect with the most is the light of wonder. And what we're finding is, you know, when we're a child, we're just, everything is a wonderment, right? We are curious. We're insatiable. We got to know it all. And something happens, and that light dims, that light goes out. But people think, oh, I got this one. This one's an easy week. This is where most of the breakthroughs come through, is this
really?
Light of wonder. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because we see this as the gateway to our divinity. It's kind
say
of...
Say more about that.
Well, it's the wonder acts as, it's kind of like soil, you know, like it's the soil in which our faith is grown, right? Our faith comes of wonder. We have faith in the universe. And I think that is such a divine concept. And so people really dive into this and looking at every aspect of their lives and what would happen if they brought wonder into it. Everything is new.
Well, you know what? It just dawned on me. If you're in wonderment or if you're in curiosity, then you're out of judgment. Right?
Yes. And isn't that a divine place to be?
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can see why there's big breakthroughs. Because just imagine, if we could take any of the situations right now that might be painful in our lives, and if we could switch up, you know, the solidified judgment we have about this is wrong or this is right, and be in that sense of, you know, well, this is interesting, or, you know, I want to be more curious about, you know, about this and about why this is happening, you know, versus slamming a judgment on it, then that, I know Leonka and I have talked many times about being curious you know, versus being in judgment, and how much that opens and expands, and you know, it can change.
Can you imagine if we were to stand in that place of curiosity rather than there's something wrong here? Like, let's step back for a minute and look at it and think, well, how could this, you know, add to my life? How could I use this instead of it using me? What do I need to learn from this? Isn't that interesting that that happened? There must be something going on here. So let's look, as opposed to right away going to that place of resistance. So
I love what you said. How could I use this rather than this using me? That's a tweetable right there. Yeah, because, you know, making statements of judgment, you know, like Leonka and I use questions a lot. And, you know, when you make a statement, we talk about this, when, you know, when you make a statement, it kind of closes the door. Well, that is just flat out wrong, you know.
Yeah.
There's no other, nothing else can get in. You're stuck with that point of view, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you can get to the wonder, if you can get to the curious, and that is a more, I guess, childlike state.
It is, yes. And it's the thing, I think, that prompts us to want to grow and expand. And the reason I think it's also such a divine place to be, or it's that gateway to our divinity, is because it's what allows us to witness the grandeur of the universe. Can you stand out outside at night and look at the stars? How could you not be in wonder or curiosity? But
absolutely,
we don't look at our lives that way. Our lives are as grand as the universe.
Oh my God, I love that you say that. I got to write that down too. Our lives are as grand. I know. Our lives are grand as the universe. Go ahead, Leonka.
It's so not fair that we don't do that to ourselves. I mean, it's kind of a mild way to say it, but I mean, I do stand out in wonder and in awe of the stars and the universe. And I mean, gosh, why couldn't I just look at my life with that much curiosity and wonder and love, you know, to see what could unfold for me? Wow, thank you. That is huge.
That's huge. You're right. If we could do that with wonder and curiosity and without judgment, oh my gosh, what would change? What would change in our worlds? What would change in our lives?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
What would change in our bodies, even? You know, because there's so much judgment around our bodies. You know.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you get into that in that class? Do you get into, you know, specifics like bodies and, you know, that kind of thing?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And imagine what our bodies would feel like if we would just knock it off and not be in judgment of our bodies all the time. Maybe it can show up and show us differently, right? We could transform ourselves. I mean, I loved what you said about what transformation is. That made me want to do a cartwheel. Like, it's like, wow, it's just a change in perception.
That's all,
you know,
it is.
That, gosh, like, that is, that's so freeing, too. Like, we want to make it so much more difficult.
Yeah. And standing in curiosity, that's the doorway to transformation. Okay, taking a step back, being curious about it, that is where the shift in perception can come. Otherwise, we won't be able to see it. We're too busy hating ourselves. And I use that word hate because that's what it really is.
Yeah.
Right.
What if
we were in a place
a little more gentle?
Well,
and that's the truth,
though. You know what? And that's the truth. I mean, there is, we spend a lot of time in self-disgust and self-hate about many different things. Yeah. And that's the truth. And that's the truth that many of us don't want to admit. But if we don't admit these things, Donna, right?
Exactly.
I mean, we're never going to get to the other side.
Yeah. What's that song? Honesty is such a lonely word.
Right?
Honesty. We aren't honest with ourselves. We're afraid of it. And once you get to the other side, and there's always something to get to the other side of, so, you know, it's a process. And
yeah, it's never
done.
That's
the good news. Yeah, that's the good news. But once you're there on any particular issue, you'll think, wow, what did I resist that for so long for?
Yeah.
And
so share with us another one. That one is incredible. That one, yeah, is big, big, big.
Isn't it good?
That.
Oh, I love
yes.
that.
Yes. Oh, that one is juicy. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That in itself,
I think,
you could probably do just like a whole thing just on that, because that would shift your perception on so many things, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And people
and
think, piece of cake, easy. And it's not that it's difficult. It's just that we don't go there. We don't give
exactly.
that to
like
ourselves.
Said, we'll go outside and we'll, you know, be in wonderment at, you know, beautiful redwoods or a night sky. But we won't look at our lives like, you know, I mean, this is a gift. This is a wonderment. I mean, this is, you know, to wake up every day and, you know, we don't even know what we're going to get to experience, you know?
Yeah. What if we stood in wonder every morning as soon as we wake up? I wonder what great thing's going to happen today. And everything is great, by the way. Everything is, because it always teaches us something. It always gives us something. And we don't look at it that way either. We look at it as
true.
Yeah, a drudgery or, oh, no, you know, Mercury's in retrograde today. And what are you going to focus on? Are you going to focus on the wonderment of it, or are you going to focus on, because there's both. You've got a choice. You can go either way.
Yes. Yes.
You can go either way.
All right. So give us another.
All right. You want to hear another one?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the one that people have the most difficulty with is the light of trust.
Well, now, why does that not surprise me?
Yeah.
That's the one that I'll need to focus in on.
Yeah, just taking a love relationship.
The truth is that I say I do, and it's funny because maybe on some things I do, but on some things I don't, Donna, you know?
Yeah. We don't, and there's good reason not to. Husband has an affair, right? And you're going to get into a new relationship, and we're skittish. We are afraid that, oh, maybe that same thing is going to happen again. And so we hold back, and it costs us something. So, and a lot of people look at trust as, you know, if you're just blindly trusting, that's naive. What's wrong with you?
Right.
But
I did have a question. I'm sorry. I was going to say I had a question on the chat that kind of led to that, but go ahead.
Okay. But you know, what are you putting your trust in? Are you putting your trust in your fear? Are you putting your trust in you know, you as a human being, just being human? What if you put your trust in the divine you, that part of you that's connected to God? Would that shift your perception?
Oh, my God, that's good.
That's creating the transformation.
You're
wow.
like speaking right to me, my sweet Donna. What are you putting your trust in? Yeah. Are you putting your trust in the fear, the past, or the divine
the past,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
many of us
you.
Do. That's where many of us put our trust in the past, right? I mean, that's where it goes. That's like
and
the
again,
auto,
for good reason.
Yeah, that's the
for
automatic.
Good reason.
Yeah, that is the, you know, regressed part of us. That is the shadow part of us. That's the, I mean, because we think, well, this is what happened before, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we want to protect
ourselves.
But
you don't know.
I mean, trust. Trust is one of those things where, you know, you think, if, you know, well, I'm not going that route because I'm going to protect my heart or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
what is
are we really protecting?
You?
Yeah, it's costing,
yeah.
Like, not having a relationship. Hello.
Again, ladies, I have a question here that I think is going to be pretty good.
Yes.
You know, in a way that we can kind of take it back to everyday things. And the person wrote, you know, how are ways that we give our power away to a lover? How can I take that back?
Mm. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of ways we give our power away. We, you know, could maybe do only the things that our lover wants to do, and we never do
mm-hmm.
what it is that fulfills us.
Wow.
I mean, we can take that to the extreme, right down to what you eat, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Where do you want to go tonight? Well, where do you want to go? And it's fine
exactly.
with whatever, right? Instead of like, hey, I choose this because my, you know, I want to do this, or, right.
Exactly. Yeah. And how can you take it back? Now, here's the tricky part, because most of us train the people in our lives to expect us to behave in a certain way. You get that? We train people.
That's
and
big.
So when
that
we
talk
big.
About that.
Talk about
that's
that.
That's a whole nother night, but please talk about that.
Yeah, we train them. So if we are constantly saying, you know, I don't care where to go, you pick where to go. I don't care where to have dinner. It's fine. Whatever you want, honey. Don't worry about it. What movie do you want to see? Oh, that's great. You go along. And then all of a sudden you start to think, well, hey, what about me? And if you change it up, somebody's going to get a little upset. Yeah, you know, I'm using something a little benign like going out to dinner or, you know, what movie you want to see. But there are bigger things in life, you know, maybe about the kids or maybe about money, maybe about sex. And if you're just going along, and then all of a sudden you change it up on that other person, they're going to get a little upset because you have trained them to expect you to react in a certain way. And sometimes it's not pretty. So you have to be, you have to take some steps. You have to take maybe baby steps towards expressing yourself and taking back your power. Because if you start to take it back, it's mine, I'm going to take it back, and I don't care what you say, it's going to cause some conflict. So to start taking back your power, you know, you might want to have conversations about, you know, well, I know that I haven't really talked too much about where I want to go, you know, or what movies I want to see, but I'd really like to start having some input about that. How would you feel about that? Now, again, I'm using something simple, like movies.
Sure. Sure, but it
but
can be
you
that
want
easy.
To. Yeah.
It can be as
yeah.
simple
you need
that,
to have
how we start to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Could be. And could you trust yourself enough? Here's where trust comes in, that you could have a conversation with your lover, your partner, that was not judgmental, not blaming, you know, not one that is going to, you know, create more upset. But, you know, to notice, this is what I notice. Use I words, not you words. This is what I notice about myself. You know,
that's great.
I just haven't been able, up until this point, I haven't been able to express my own, you know, desires. And I really need to start doing that. Would you support me in that? You want to enroll somebody into supporting you into making some changes.
As opposed to
you don't
want to
just slam them.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, those you conversations,
yeah,
they're inflammatory.
No, really?
I love the way you put that.
I haven't noticed. that's great. Thank you.
Inflammatory.
No,
wow.
And, you know, you have to look again. What's your commitment here? I'm committed to, having all of my interactions with my husband be of the highest order. And so I'm not going to go to him and say, you know what, I can't believe you did that. But really, it just really upsets me. And you. No. You have to come to it, and this is how you take your power back. You have to come from it with the I conversation. This is what I notice about me. Maybe you've noticed it too. But I really would love your support in shifting that behavior. Would you be willing to do that?
Wow.
Now, that's going to require a certain amount of honesty on your part. And taking responsibility for not having, owned up to your own self-expression. Does that make sense? You got to be honest with yourself and with your partner.
Right.
But in a gentle way that doesn't inflame things, but that enrolls them into wanting, you know. And of course, if they love you, they want to support you.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Do you think that helps? Does that answer
absolutely
that question?
Yeah.
I think so too. Yeah.
And could you trust yourself enough to have that kind of conversation? Could you trust that, you know, the divine part of you will show up? And have an intention with a conversation before you have it.
I like that.
Always have an intention. Yeah. And don't always put it over there that, you know, this is the way I look at relationships. I'm 100% responsible for the success of my relationship. I am.
That's awesome. I can see how that is.
And you don't want to put it over there. Hopefully, they will, go along with you in that conversation, in that concept.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, they're 100% responsible for the success of the relationship as well. But you, you take the responsibility.
That's
like
amazing.
That. A lot.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly
get that question too.
I can certainly see why you have a lot of transformations on this class. So, Leonka, do you have that pulled up? Do you have Donna's class pulled up? I know it's coming up. She has another one coming up.
I do. In fact, Donna, I know that you guys are doing a new class and you have to record, so you've been so nice as to offer it to our listeners as a live class.
Yes.
For $97, and really most people would pay way more for this because it's live, so they're going to be able to bring their questions to you live. I mean, it's kind of like being able to work with you, like almost like, you know, one-on-one, because they get so much interaction. I mean, I know anytime I'm on a live class, I'm like, I mean, I feel like I'm right there and I get so much more change. So you get to walk with them throughout the whole week. I mean, there's 10 weeks, correct?
10 weeks, yes.
My goodness.
And it starts on July 9th, and it will be at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. So it'll be during the day. We have a lot of European participants this time around. So we're making it during the day. Hopefully, people will be able to join us here in the States as well. And we just love this class. It's just filled with information, but it's totally inspirational. Because you're right, Lianca, you get one-on-one coaching. And if you have the courage to speak up on the class, you will get so much more value out of it. You'll get value out of it, but you will get so much more value.
Or like we like to say, if you'll be courageous enough to get in the hot seat.
There you go. Yes, I heard you guys talking about the hot seat. Yeah.
Yeah, the hot seat.
Yeah.
And for those who may not be able to join you live, you will have a replay, correct? Like they'll be able to write in their questions to you guys, and then you could answer them next time live. Yeah.
Yes.
So they can hear.
Yeah, and you can get a recording. You can listen in.
Yeah.
And we do have what we don't call it homework, we call it light work. We have light work. You can choose to do it or not. And we also have mentors who will support you in that light work. People who have been through the course before and people who really, really love the work and are immersed in it. And then, yes, you have myself and Jeff Malone, who also worked with Debbie Ford, and Mary Herndon. And between the three of us, you can get a lot of good coaching.
Oh, my gosh.
On these
that's
calls.
Amazing. Well, thank you for offering that to our folks. And like I said, I know you have to record it live, so they get a special treat to be able to join you live. And that's kind of like, you know, to me, that's kind of like, you know, that's super-duper awesome. But, you know, of course, they have to choose it very soon because you guys start in July, this summer. So, gosh, I mean, imagine
July 9th,
going straight into
and
the
you know,
fall. I mean,
I don't know that I heard that the last time, that you actually have mentors that are working, that can work along with people.
Mm-hmm.
I really love that.
Because
I know that, you know, in our coaching program, we had that as well. So, I mean, we, like, had support at every turn. And I think, you know, when you're doing a class, that's what's so good, because sometimes you're taking in a lot of information, and sometimes we don't know. It's like information overload, and you don't know what to do with it. So I love that, you know, you've got all the coaches, you know, people can, you know, ask questions live, and you've got the mentors to really help, you know, in between. I think, I mean, what a gift. What a gift.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's so worth it to take advantage of it, because in my private coaching, you know, I charge between $150 and $200 an hour.
An hour.
So to get this, an hour,
it's,
yes.
10
and
hours.
And Jeff
10
does too.
Hours. Yeah.
More
so.
Than.
Wow, that's incredible. So that value is like over $2,000 then, right? I mean, wow. That's wonderful.
Well, thank you
for
and we are thrilled to be able to share this work with the world. It's it's important work, and we'd love to have everybody come and join us.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
And, you know, I want to say, you know, that hasn't changed at all about you, Donna. I mean, you know, you were my coach in my program so many years ago, and your desire to give people, you know, as much as they can possibly take in has not changed one bit. And it's probably even grown more, I mean, if that's possible. So, you know, I just want to thank you so much for tonight, and I just want to invite everyone, you know, Donna, you know, was my coach and has been my coach for years, and I just, I can't express to you enough, you know, how this could really transform your life. So please take advantage of it. It is very, very affordable, and we're talking about hours and hours and hours of coaching. With someone who is just phenomenal. So thank you for gifting our listeners with this.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining
us
tonight.
It has been so much fun, so much fun. I just love being with you, and again, I'm honored. I'm honored, and I just wish that everyone can dwell in their light and bring that light to the world. Because you know what? It's your birthright. It is your birthright to shine radiantly in the world. And I love seeing you and Leonka, Deborah, both of you shining so brightly. Oh my gosh. It's really
Thank you.
So needed.
Thank you,
so needed. And I just want to acknowledge too all of the listeners out there that, you know, you are appreciating this amazing work that Deborah and Leonka are doing and taking action. Gotta take action to move through all of that. That stuff. It's no small thing.
No, we need, it's like you said, we need everybody's light turned way up right now.
Yes, we do. Yes, we
do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Donna, my friend, thank you for joining us again and for giving us such a gift with your time tonight and your information tonight and obviously the class that you're offering. And I would just... you know, highly recommend anyone, anything that Donna is involved in or participating in. I mean, jump in because, you know, while you have the chance, while she's still, you know, before she goes off and she's a star on stage singing somewhere, I mean, grab her coaching while you can for sure. So,
thank you. Thank you. Well, I love you both and just sending so much love out into the world. I feel so blessed. Thank you.
Well, we look forward to playing with you some more at some other some other opportune time. Yes?
We shall do it.
Yes. All right. Bianca, anything else?
Well, thank you, guys. You can always hear the replays at reveal.leonka.com/live. Just scroll all the way down to the bottom to hear the most recent replay. And then, of course, sometimes we open up our top 10, and then sometimes we have special events. So, guys, I do invite you to check out Donna's special class. It only is up for a couple more weeks. It is just a real gift to everyone. And, of course, Deborah and I will be on those calls. So thank you, everyone, for who's joining us. If you have any questions, you can always reach us at Leonka, that's Lyanca, at leonka.com. And Deborah, you know, tell everyone good night. Thank you, Donna. We love you guys all.
Thank you. And listen, we'd love to hear comments about the about anything we've talked about, or if you have questions about anything tonight, please direct them our way. And if there's any specific questions to Donna, we'll get them right to her, too. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.